Hi.
يا الله.
Hi dad. How are you today?
Hi حبيبي. الحمد لله.
الحمد لله. عيد مبارك.
علينا وعليك يا الله وعلى كل حي
ومال. Okay, so we started by you were saying that you wanted to discuss how to be fair, truly, truly fair. And I told you that's really cool because I was thinking I wanted to discuss truly how to better yourself because a lot of the comments that I receive and the DMs are amazing, like, thank you so much, but how did you get to where you are? And I noticed that I do start at the end. I kind of come after the bettering and after, and I just come with the final solid statement. And I understand that there's a journey to get there, you know? And one of the YouTube comments that I saw was actually really funny. And they were like, not everyone grew up with a dad like yours. And I understand. That being said, we didn't get here easily. Do you know what I mean? And it's very easy for people to just brush off as like, oh, it's been fine and dandy since day one. It's a long, hardworking journey, but it is the most worthy journey. And anything truly worth it, it comes with a little bit of strife, a little bit of struggle. So I just wanted to preface this by saying that it's not easy. Everything I'm saying, it's not, you're just, I'm not, even if I hand you the answer on a silver platter, there's still a lot of work to be done.
It is very important to understand that this is a journey.
Yeah.
It is not something you start and you stop in a week time because you're summer vacation or camp is over. It's not a course you take.
Mm, yeah.
It is something you embed yourself in.
Yeah. In colloquial terms, like it's a lifestyle.
Well, if you wanna put it this way.
Yeah, because it's an everyday thing. It is a lifestyle.
And the motive and the energy that moves you all the time is like, I just want to be slightly bitter today. In any aspect.
Every day has to be slow increments of I'm going to better myself. And if one day you fail, because let's say you set little goals for yourself, and there are days we're human, we're hormonal, things happen. And that's really important to me to preface. These tools that we talk about and that we give, it's not about nothing bad's ever going to happen to you again. It's about you will now handle bad things with regulating your emotions, with grace, with gratitude, with as much calmness as you can possibly muster. Bad things will happen, they will happen. This dunya is designed to test you, but it is how you go about them that makes you different, that sets you apart from your peers.
It's very important to also understand that two bads do not make good.
Two wrongs don't make a right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's very, very important to understand that haqq and batil, right and wrong.
Yeah. Raison et tort in French, I remember. Oh my God.
It's very simple. There is right and there is wrong. And there is no area in the middle.
Okay. Okay.
And it is where your heart goes, what you choose. It is okay that you find yourself doing something wrong, but it's very important to acknowledge that you are doing wrong.
Yeah, and then set yourself on the right track. With my episode with Marah, you didn't watch it.
There is silence here.
there's a part where I talked about, because she asked me what happened after I left that school that she and I were in together. And I told her, I personally didn't care. And I told her, unsurprisingly, you didn't care as much. To you, it was about, because I mentioned this, the way you raised me was, making a wrong is not haram. Like, it's fine, we make mistakes. غلط عن غلط بفرق, for sure. But the way you did it was, I'm gonna stop you in your tracks immediately. This is what we did wrong. I will treat you accordingly, not in the sense of I will cage you and whip you, but in the sense of, depending on how minor or big your mistake was, you will be treated accordingly, and then we will start to be set on the right track, and then we go from there, which was very important. And that helped me deal with my mistakes on my own.
Would you allow me to narrate a small story related to you?
Which one?
How you left a school as the black sheep, and the same girl within 11 months left the other school as the top notch, most academically recognized and most morally recognized girl. What did change?
How you handle shortcomings.
Alhamdulillah.
Of course,
true.
How they're handled makes the world of a difference. It's the same way with like with toddlers. If they make a mistake and you whip on them or beat them or scare them and terrorize them, you cause so much damage. And it's the same in adolescence years, because in your adolescence, you are a sponge just as much as you are when you're a kid, in a different way, but you are very much a sponge. And it's the perfect time to teach them how to handle mistakes and shortcomings, because it's where they have enough emotional awareness to try to do better the next time.
So how to start bettering yourself? How to start improving yourself?
Okay, I started by saying finding where there are issues or struggles in your life, but then you reminded me, gratitude first and foremost, because every self-help book, for lack of a better word, has stated that being in a state of gratitude is the best state you can be in at all times. And this is something I've learned. If I find myself getting anxious or starting to panic, I immediately list 10 things I'm grateful for. If I find myself about to become angry, instead of like counting down from 10, I immediately list 10 things I'm grateful for. Because being in a state of gratitude, there is no room for any negative emotion. It's actually factually impossible. If you are in a state of gratitude, you cannot feel any negative emotion. Which is, I mean, you know, I say it like that and it sounds so simple, but when you think about it, that's literally like a magic spell.
It is. It is very important to recognize that the human ego is, by its nature, is attracted towards negativity.
Yeah.
Towards complaining, towards pain, towards it's not fair, I want more, why is this happening to me? Comparison, all competitiveness and comparison.
Yeah.
Always competing and always comparing. So, and if you locked into that state of mind, how could you feel any joy and how could you have any improvement?
Yeah.
By the way, competitiveness will never give you improvement.
I don't understand states of competitiveness. I never have, and I fully get that from you. I've never been competitive. And some people, I see them with card games, something as simple as Monopoly.
And they freak out.
And they lose their minds, and I'm like, you need to,
they have to
calm
win.
Down. I've never cared about being competitive. What did you say? Wait, you told Zim or something. What was it? Bismillah. What did you say about competitiveness? Why would I, when I'm already the best? What did you say?
Ah, okay. You know, you can say that. If you
I don't remember it.
It
was
said,
literally back in January.
I said,
he was
no,
here.
I've never felt competitiveness. And why would I? I've always been the best in
yeah.
whatever I've done.
Yeah.
And it could, you know, anybody can claim anything. But what validates your claims is your results.
Yeah, of course.
And you know that you are the best when you are not competing. You are actually donating, cooperating, and extending hand to the people around you to give of what you have.
This is where, sorry, but I fully thought of like now how they're doing participation trophy. Like you get accolades for just showing up.
Well, and wait that for improvement after that.
That is the number one way to impede improvement.
Encouraging
to stop it.
And rewarding laziness.
Laziness, yeah.
And
laziness, yeah, for sure. For sure. Anyway, that's really just destroying people's lives.
It's also very important that when you work hard and aspire and it's not because you're competing with someone.
Yeah, it's because you're bettering yourself.
It's because it's a goal.
Yeah.
It's bettering yourself. It's this innate need inside you to reach as close as perfection can. Because the state of perfection is actually a godly state,
yeah.
A heavenly state. And we should all aspire for it.
Yeah.
Within our own limitations.
Of course. Of course. You know, Subhanallah, so you know that I own a talent management agency, and I was just talking to a new talent that I'm potentially going to sign, and she's a sweet, sweet, lovely little thing. She really is. She's the epitome of what every girl her age should be. And Subhanallah, we were talking, and I really it'll tie in, but I also remembered Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey says, find your gift and make it your source of income, like make it your purpose. And then I discovered talent management because I love my girls. I love managing them. I love the journey that we're on together. That's my passion. I'm really passionate about that. And then this podcast I've discovered is my purpose, and they're two very different things. And Steve Harvey saying, find your gift and make it your source of income, I think it's wiser than people even give it credit for. Because what you said about within your limitations, find your gift, you as a human, separately, regardless of what you think your gift is, of what your friend's gift is, of what you saw some celebrity achieve, it has nothing to do with you. Find your gift.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? So the Absolutely. And because limitations might sound like a negative word, but it's not. This is what I've been given. This is the box of chocolates that I have, and that's it.
The rule is the limitation. Our existence itself is a manifestation of limitation. But within this limitation, there is so much abundance.
Yeah, of course.
Like we have a limited amount of days on this earth. We have a limited amount of power. We have a limited capacity of brain. Limitation beyond limitation beyond limitation.
Yeah.
But those limitations are also a bliss.
Alhamdulillah.
Is there enough within those limitations to make you...
I think those limitations are a blessing because they allow you not to stray too far. If you understand your limitations, and I mean limitations in the most positive of ways, if you understand what your gift is, what your purpose is within the boundaries of what you are capable of and what makes you content and satisfies you and fuels and feeds into your purpose, it allows you to get to it faster. If you have a sense of, I'm using realism in a very, very specific way here, but that realism and groundedness, it allows you to get to your purpose faster rather than waste your time on whatever delusion you think you're meant for that clearly isn't meant for you. Most people are lost. They don't know their purpose.
Most people are trapped between two things: over-exaggeration of what they can do or whom they are, or lack of appreciation of what gift they've been given.
That's true. There is either an over-inflated sense of self and ego, which
can lead you to destruction.
Come back down to earth. Yeah. And then there's people that I see are capable of so much, and there's just the self-confidence is shattered. It's practically non-existent.
And that's why people like you are very important. Because you can actually, for those who have an over-exaggerated sense of ego, very little can be done.
You said this last time, and I found this very, very interesting. I think we were talking about what's easier to resolve. Someone who has an over-inflated ego and sense of self, or someone who is very weak and insecure and meek. And you said the one who is insecure and meek, because they have to rise and they need to be fed and fueled and manured and all of that. But the overinflated sense of self, and they need to take it a peg down. That's where you will.
That's a lot of resistance.
A lot of resistance. And 9 times out of 10, it just doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
And how could you be fair? Why fair? Why being fair is so important for improvement?
You mean being fair to yourself?
When I say fair, I say it in its totality.
Yeah, okay, so to yourself and to others.
And I would always start with yourself. I would always.
I was about to say, I think you should start with yourself. And this is something that, if you've seen my podcast, I talk about more than anything. Before outside, it's always inside. So before, oh, they would do that to them, so why wouldn't they do it to me? I think of, oh, they do that to themselves, why wouldn't they do it to me? So the self before anything. To be fair, if you're not fair to yourself, it is impossible to be fair to others. It goes back to what we were talking about, love. If you genuinely don't love yourself, it is impossible for you to love me.
You can love yourself, but are you fair to it?
If you genuinely love yourself, yeah.
If genuinely loving yourself, it has to be a balanced, fair love.
Yeah.
It's a heavenly source of
course.
A heavenly form of love to oneself.
I was thinking about this, I think on the drive here, bismillah, you know how people say you have to love yourself? And it's so interesting because especially in this day of social media, you see a lot of the positive side of it always. Like, you know, you made a mistake, just take it easy on yourself. You texted your ex, it's okay, you're human. And they just, this sense of delusional self-love of we're just every mistake. It's just like, it's okay, baby girl. You know, you're just human. And I don't understand that, because when we talk about, for example, your friend, if a friend just encouraged every little thing you did and every mistake, that's not a true friend. You want someone who'll also give it to you straight, right? So with yourself, to be fair to yourself, you have to be the first person to stop yourself in your tracks and be like, hold up, you just majorly screwed up.
In our holy book, there is a phrase. I will just say part of it. يحرفون الكلمة عن مواضعه. To take the word out of its place.
Yeah.
And that's a phenomena you see nowadays. Very much. I think it's a universal phenomena. It's been going in humanity since ever. But lately, with all of this access to media, you could see it, how prominent it is.
Yeah.
It is very important to give words their meaning.
I said this from day one. And people, especially with the video when I was talking about toxic masculinity and femininity cannot exist, because masculinity and femininity are divine, and therefore if you are toxic, you are not feminine, nor are you masculine. And hundreds of comments were, oh, now we're just discussing semantics. Yes, yes, I am discussing semantics. Because they matter. Because they're actually important. This is when people stop talking. And I'm not just saying talking gibberish and talking nonsense and talking just for the sake of talking. I'm saying talking with purpose, with meaning, with intention. Humanity, خلص.
But isn't that fairness? Exists.
What's fairness?
To give the words their meaning. Meaning.
Of course. Of course.
That's part of the fairness. Now, how can you be fair to yourself?
Wait, what does that have to do with words?
Words carry the intellectual value. Words... by being fair, mm-hmm. is allowing the word to mean what they're meant to mean, not to use them in the wrong way.
I understand, but how does that start with you being fair to yourself with the words?
Prescribe yourself properly.
Okay, yes, absolutely. If you have to sit and describe yourself, yeah.
To yourself first.
Yes, I understand.
I have seen more men with a delusional self-reflection.
Men and women alike, like, we're right there behind you.
Like, I understand. I can find 1,000 excuses for a woman, but I cannot find excuses for men.
You know what? I'm gonna stop you right there. I cannot find 1,000 excuses for women anymore.
I'm a man. I tend to be much more lenient when it comes to women. But and for a man who has a long list of responsibilities, the most important thing to be fair to yourself is to understand the meaning of whom the words, and to understand whom you are and how much value you have, not in an inflated sense.
Yeah.
Again, you go back to what you've been blessed with and what you tend to do wrong.
Okay, but for example, when we were talking... For example, about the people who are meek or insecure or lack of self-confidence, how can they start truly acknowledging the gifts that they've been given?
If they're fair to yourself, the first thing is you need to start with the bliss you have. As a child, and you as an example, as a child, I used to tell you so many times, you don't need to claim anything.
Yeah.
You just need to see what you have.
Yeah.
Because... as children, we see the ambient around us and we want to be this one or we want to be that one because we think it's, wow, it's much better than whom we are. Is it?
I saw a reel by Robert Greene and he was talking about the persona, which you always talk about. And he was saying, especially today in the age of social media, that everyone has a fake persona that they've put on because they've just, it's almost like a coin collection. They've just collected a coin from here, a coin from there, from this person they've seen, this celebrity, this influencer, this friend, this whatever. And they just put it in themselves as a piggy bank and that's what they're made up of. But then that piggy bank, if you just drop it, shatters.
One of the most unfair state of existence to yourself is to carry personas around. Because by the nature of a persona, it's not permanent.
Yeah, of course.
It's like a painting made of wax in the heat. It keeps on melting. You have to go back and continuously
yeah.
amend it.
Yeah.
And continuously add layers to it. So you trap yourself into a perpetual state of lying.
Yeah.
Being fair. And the pitiful thing is that those individuals who trapped into a persona, if they go back to whom they are, they would realize that they do not need any personas.
Yeah, they'd flourish. They're actually quite great.
Absolutely.
Some of them, not all.
All evil is done by personas. I tell you.
Yeah.
A persona is not capable of producing anything good. Because by its nature, it's fake.
Okay, so see, I'm glad you brought this up because I'd like to get into it. Yesterday, I posted a reel about النَّاسُ بَيْنَ اثْنَيْنِ بَيْنَ حَاسِدٍ وَشَامِتٍ, which means people are between two, between those who envy and those who gloat or kick you when you're down. And one of the comments was, not everyone is bad, not everyone is evil. I agree, but, and I say but on purpose here, most people are in a state of this fake persona that they've adapted and put on. And like you just said, with that fake persona, nothing good can come from it. So it's not necessarily that you're a bad person, but you are not in your innate state. You are not living your purpose. And therefore, you are not producing the best outcomes that you can produce. And that does make you not the best person you can be. Therefore, the results are not so great.
Such remarks by this person. It's taking the exception and trying to make a rule out of
it. It's not just the exception, because I understand not everyone is being hasid usham.
Absolutely. I
understand. I
agree.
But I will also say we live in a day and age where most people don't actually wish you well. Most people, how could someone wish you well if they don't even know themselves? They don't know what they wish for themselves.
The statement is valid.
Yeah.
Most people are trapped into those two polarities. Now, there is a small minority that's exceptional. And those statements, they are created, they're made to encourage you to look for those good ones by avoiding the majority of the bad ones.
Yes. I will say something, though. I will add this thing of some people will wish you well, fine. I have to say this. Most people don't wish you well. Most people, it takes a very heavenly saint-like state to wish someone well and not expect anything in return. For example, I could be on social media and see a beautiful video of a couple that just got married or just gave birth and be like, mashallah, Allah yahmiyun, and I just move on, you know? But most people in your life, they don't wish you well with nothing in return. Are your friends saints? Have you hit the jackpot? That's not a thing.
We do not negate the minority. It does exist. But you don't base your life on minorities.
On exceptions,
on exceptions.
You have to cater to the majority.
Absolutely.
That's not how
absolutely
it works.
And there is nothing wrong in understanding how the world around you work. We go back to the same subject.
Okay, you wanted to talk about fairness.
Fairness, and I believe that being fair is an essential part of self-improvement.
Okay, but you didn't answer my question. What? I told you someone who's meek and insecure, how could they truly be fair to themselves if they're insecure, they're incapable of doing so?
Well, think of insecurity and think of meekness and think of fear as a state of physical existence.
Okay.
Somebody who has very little muscles but has a good structure starts exercising. And there is no formula that you will wake up tomorrow or the day after and your fear and your meekness and your shyness is gone and now you are the Mr. Superman. Or
no, that wasn't my question.
I understand your question.
That's not my question. Mm-hmm. My question is someone who's shy and insecure and meek, and for example, they don't recognize that they're a great writer or a great football player or a great coder. You know what I mean? They're just insecure and they think, no, why would I even bother? How can they sit down and actually write, for example? If they want to be fair, you said they have to list their blessings. And how could they list the blessing of, wow, I'm actually athletically pretty great, or wow, I've been blessed with this gift of coding. For example, if they don't see it, how are they just going to sit down and see it?
You see, that's a dilemma there.
That's
a dilemma. Because If you are over-engaged, over-involved in self-criticism and self-belittling, it might take you the rest of your life just doing that.
Yeah.
Now, you might be blessed to find someone around who says, stop, you are actually good, and you will resist it. But that doesn't come easily. There are not too many people around who cares about you to the point that they will just leave whatever they're doing and focus on you just to give you a hand and pull you out from that quagmire you've thrown yourself in. Now, it has to start with you.
I agree.
And you might be, and if it starts with you, one of the first things is to look for people, even in the most minute, smallest way, that feeds positivity around you.
I agree.
At least do not bombard you with criticism.
I agree. I will say, though, even if you don't have access to that, really sit down, think of people less fortunate than you, something that you have that they wish they could have, write that down. And even if you're not fully convinced to begin with, that, for example, have great hair and I'm a great writer, for example, and it's something someone lesser than you would love to have, and write it down, like, I'm actually grateful that I have great hair and I'm a great writer. And you might not believe it at first, but honestly, keep writing it down until you do. There's something about repetition, because the same way you kept repeating to yourself you're not great until you believed it, the opposite also works.
Absolutely.
So keep repeating the opposite to yourself, and eventually the planted seed will take root.
It has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
It has to start somewhere. You have to start somewhere. Otherwise, most people will drown in their own tears, in their own
always
thoughts. And it's happening around us. Look what is happening to humanity.
All the time.
If you really want, you need to stop the sequential thinking and say, from here, from this moment, I need to list at least two things that somebody told me I'm good in them.
Yeah.
Or I used to think I'm good in them.
Yeah, until someone came and
smashed
it. Yeah, fly swatted it, for sure.
I deal with people, and I deal with young people, and I deal with women all of the time, and I find it so difficult to convince them that they have something good. And either you will find those women that have this over-exaggerated sense
and value of themselves
yes,
a 10 out of
yes.
10, Jesus Christ.
Or genuine women with talent that refuse to see it.
Yeah. You know, actually, I will add to that. It's very interesting to see, especially in today's society and age, the women who value themselves a 10 out of 10, truly, I'd give them a 4 at best. On a good day, on a day your mama prayed for you, I'd give you a 4 out of 10. And then the girls who value themselves a 4 out of 10, I would genuinely give them an 8 or a 9. They are beautiful women, educated, smart, funny, takes care of herself truly, doesn't give her access to just anyone, and they value themselves peanuts. And it's literally topsy-turvy town. And I don't know when, actually I know exactly when this happened, but it's crazy.
It's a compensated.
Reality check needs to happen.
It's what we call a compensated state of existence.
Yeah. So actually, just going on this, I was having this conversation with one of my friends. We were sitting, and she was actually discussing my podcast. And I mentioned the whatever podcast where he sits on a table with sex workers. And he also had Candace Owens there once debating these sex workers. And it's very interesting because you kind of really see how delusional the world is getting. And a lot of people will ask, why do you care about the West? For very specific reasons. Everything that started there has finally creeped
found
its way
itself here.
Honestly. So whatever's happening there now, in the next 20 years, watch it creep its way here. And I will put my foot down against it until the day I die. So he goes around the table rating people. So when she was discussing my podcast with me, my friend, we mentioned that. And she was like, what would you rate yourself? And I said, honestly, a 6. Maybe a 7. And she was shocked. And no, we're 10s. Of course we're 10s. You're such a 10. I'm a 10. I'm like, you see yourself as a 10? And she said, yeah. So I asked one simple question. Then is there room for improvement?
No.
Why would I do myself the disservice of rating myself a 10 Number one, it's delusional. Number two, I shoot myself in the foot because I'm stopping myself from virtually having any sense of improvement.
And this is where fairness comes. Being fair to yourself.
But fair. So here's the thing. They think that by rating myself lower, it's kind of like, oh, I'm playing it small or pick me or whatever. But to me, it's no. I see how much I have to grow and everything I could accomplish and I could better. And I'm allowing myself that leeway, that margin to do better and be better.
Well, I remember the first time you asked me to rate you.
Yeah.
And I said 7 by best. 6 to 7 by... You remember?
No, that's bullshit. You said 8.
Did I say 8?
Yeah, you did. And okay. I said 6 to 7. See, this man remembers things. What did I say last time? Selective memory.
But then I told you one thing. I said, don't forget that you're my daughter.
Yeah.
And that gives you...
I said this.
Okay, you said that.
Bro.
Bro, it's okay. It's all right. It's okay. But you said it. I said it. Doesn't matter. It happened between us.
No. SubhanAllah, it doesn't matter. I said it. No, it matters.
Okay. Anyway, the concept of rating oneself.
When that happened, we were talking about rating, and then you sent me an article about rating,
uh-huh.
And 7 or 8 was kept for like the most beautiful. 8, 9, 10 is for the most beautiful women in the world.
Yeah.
Like, but anyway, that's a different kind of rating that I'm talking about. I'm talking about me and a girl. We're talking about this, and I'm trying to go to the state of delusion that women can be in. And listen, to be fair, it's not necessarily that she was in a state of delusion, but she's riding on this train of self-love, and you have to rate yourself a 10 because you're amazing, and you should love yourself, and you should see yourself as a 10. Cool, but before. Why did we jump into the well of you should immediately see yourself as a 10? What about the work to get to a 10? Do you know what I mean? So to me, long story short is this rating of yourself of are you... Most women rate themselves as a 10 out of 10, and I find it delusional. Not in the sense that you shouldn't love yourself and respect yourself and show gratitude for the things you have. To me, I just found it to be honestly shooting yourself in the foot and an impediment for growth and improvement. I love rating myself as a 6 or 7, 6 actually, because I see how much work I have left to do. I see all of the things that I could still achieve, all of the improvements I could still make, spiritual, mental, physical. And to me, being a 6 is actually a great thing because it makes me excited to get better. It makes me look forward to the improvement, to enjoy the journey. If I rate myself a 10, what do I have to work on?
What have we left for megalomania?
I don't know. Do you know what I mean? That was basically my point. Women rate themselves all too high, honestly. You know what? Maybe men too. I just haven't had this conversation with them.
Well, I've seen a lot of men that they actually have a very defected, over-exaggerated sense of self.
I agree. I haven't spoken to like men one-on-one recently about these things just because, especially if I see someone in that state, I immediately
What I found is the less, generally I'm talking about men, the less they have intellectually, mentally. And
the bigger the ego.
The bigger the ego.
I have noticed this. I don't know where it comes. Is it Napoleon complex? It's an overcompensation.
It is an overcompensation.
It is an overcompensation. But it's this. But by the way, this is not limited to your sex. Women are the same. I find that the less they've accomplished and the less they have to offer, the more they seem they think they have to offer.
True. There is a very strange sense of entitlement that is invading the world. And I don't know where is it coming from.
Oh, I know where it's coming from.
Tell me.
No, we can't talk about it.
Oh, okay. We cannot.
No, but I don't know. Of course I know where it's coming from.
SubhanAllah. Like I remember me growing up, and I remember that whenever I saw entitlement, even when it was offered to me, and I was in many, many ways offered entitlement, and by my nature, I just refused it.
You know what? We can talk about it because I talk about how this generation is very spoiled. This sense of entitlement, social media first and foremost, because the West is affecting here. And this sense of validation and affirmation, the second every emotion you have is being, you're being told, your feelings are valid. You totally have the right to feel this way. entitlement cannot help but brew and take over.
Amazing. But, you know, if you want to start on the journey of self-improvement, the first thing is to really consider the value of your thoughts. And to realize that most of the thoughts are technically garbage thoughts.
Yes.
If they have any value, they have a destructive value.
I know, but people don't really know how to get to that. So let's go back to the fairness.
Mm-hmm. One of the most important aspects of fairness is to wish others
what you wish on yourself.
And when somebody does something wrong in front of you, we are capable of acknowledging that it is wrong.
Are you talking about mistakes, or are you talking about what you wish on yourself and wish on... Those are two... No, pick one, so we know what to delve into.
Okay, let's talk about wishing for yourself.
Okay.
You wish for others what you wish for yourself.
Or you wish for yourself what you wish for others. Because it depends on where you're coming from. Because some people... If you find yourself wishing others negativity, and then I tell you, okay, wish for yourself the same thing, that might be like, okay, wait, I'm doing something wrong.
Absolutely.
But then if you're constantly wishing for others well and not for yourself, and then I tell you, wish for yourself what you wish for others, and that kind of makes you feel like, no, how could I get that? Or I don't deserve that.
That's also lack of fairness.
It's also something to consider. Yeah. SubhanAllah, I was thinking about this yesterday, because I remember, I think you did this, and you'll remember who I'm talking about, I'm not going to mention them, when you told them, da'it lo, so you prayed for him to get everything he deserves, and the look of fear in his eyes. SubhanAllah, I was thinking about this yesterday, and I really took a moment to think, if someone looked at me now and said, I hope, as an insult, they could, because they're angry or whatever, but in a moment just went, I pray you get everything you deserve. How would I feel? And for the first time in my life, I was like, you know what? Inshallah, from your mouth to God's ears. And if you had asked me a year ago, I would have panicked.
It's funny to mention that, because that individual in specific claimed that I prayed negatively on him. And all what I wished him is to have
what you deserve.
What he deserved.
Yeah. And that's a really interesting one. I think most people should take a moment and ask themselves this question. If someone came up to you and said, I pray you get everything you deserve, how would you react? And if your innate reaction, your instinct, is panic and fear, you're doing something fundamentally wrong. Absolutely. And if your reaction is, you know what? Yeah, from your mouth to God's ears, I hope I do get everything I deserve. Then you might be doing something right.
Well, I also remember that part of what I prayed is that may Allah send to him people that treat him exactly the way he treated me.
Mm.
And he panicked.
Yeah. Because he knows. They always know.
Because they know. Yeah. They always know.
They always know. So wishing to yourself, I think a good metric to start with that is the getting everything you deserve. Because deserve is a big word. But yeah. What you wished, okay, and then?
You see, we, by our nature, we want good things. And by our nature, we want good life, we want wealth, we want abundance, we want longer life, we want life free of disease and free of cumbersomeness. And
okay.
Do you really want to share the same place with the others? If you really want to share the same with the people around you and generally with the world, then you have a sense of fairness. But is it only just saying it and talking it? Being fair is also that you extend a hand. Like, why do you do what you do now?
I told you, it's because of Palestine. When I saw what happened, and I'm Palestinian, after October 7, with the limitations of what I am able to physically do other than prayers, I said, as a Palestinian woman, the least I can do is put some good out there in the world. And that's my honest to God answer. That's why I started this.
Huh. See, there is a sense of fairness there. Because you want to share a bliss that you have.
Yes. And I also wanted to... I wanted to live up to what I saw our people go through with the limitations that I have. So when I see people sacrificing so much and going through the hardest of hard times with all the love and the grace, and I'm just sitting in my bedroom with my AC, it moved me. I found my purpose.
Alhamdulillah. You know, part of...
Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. I wanted to continue that lineage of doing good. And as a Palestinian woman, sitting where I am, I wanted to do what I am capable of with what I have access to. They're doing the best that they can in the situation that they're in. With the limitations that they have, they've shown the world the beauty of Islam and Maktub and all of that. They did it in their way, in where they are, with everything that has been imposed upon them. I wanted to continue that where I am, because the energy is the same, the essence is the same, if that makes sense. Or at least I'm trying to emulate the same essence. I'm just honest to God, it started because of October 7.
It's in our holy book. We are ordered to give from our si'ah, from our, which is, means capability or capacity, or regardless what you have.
Yeah.
There is no state of existence where you cannot give. And to be fair, you have to share.
Yes. And the thing is, you share whether you choose to or not, because some people, even with their lack of sharing and not wanting to and being greedy and stingy and miserly and all of that, they end up sharing negativity, sharing that energy, you know, paying that forward. So it happens despite of you. Even when you think you're not sharing, you are, but you're sharing something horrible.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So being in that state where regardless what I have, and the sharing is not about materialistic things. It's not about just giving money or giving objects. It's about giving, and that's it.
Yeah.
Giving your time, sharing your thoughts.
In Islam, isn't zakah a smile? A smile can be a zakah. Yeah.
The smallest of acts can have the greatest of rewards.
You didn't watch my Marah episode, but subhanAllah, she started it and it was quite surprising because I had no recollection of this whatsoever. She started because she and I both had a tough time in high school. And she started by saying she used to always look forward to seeing me or something along those lines of I helped her. Or you have to watch the episode, but she said every time I'd see her in the hallway, I would just run to her, hug her and say, "You smell so amazing," and just walk away. And she said that little thing that I used to say would make her whole day, would give her the strength to carry on. And I had no idea. I didn't know, but I just really thought she smelled lovely, apparently. You know, I was saying, yeah, my episodes start haphazardly. They end haphazardly. I never have an ending, a beginning or a middle or an end, and it just happens. So alhamdulillah, it's been successful so far. But honestly, there's an episode that we posted that I was like, this is a disaster, and I had a DM of this is my favorite episode, and I'm like, thank you, because I thought this was mayhem, that was a circus.
But I told you it would be good. The whole thing, the beauty of this, that is not pre-prepared, the beauty of this, that it's an actual flow of what we think, what was built on us.
I know. I just think, and this is something that I'm trying to learn and get better at. I start at the end, and I understand because I've learned my lessons, and I'm very firm in what I think and believe. I'm just trying to learn how to navigate, and well, show people how to navigate the journey and get there. So I'm still working on that. I need to get better at. You and I both, because you and I start at the end. We start with everything we already know. We just need to get better at dissecting the journey to get there. That's why I asked you, how do you, and then we jumped to the end.
Sure, I will go back to it again.
Inshallah. But anyway, thanks, Dad. This is good.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu
alaikum. Alaykum assalam.